Hello, welcome to our online talk as we continue looking at the Christmas story in Luke's Gospel in our lead up through Advent and to Christmas. It's great to be joining you here. I'm sat here on Saturday afternoon recording this, just coming back from the seniors' afternoon tea that we have here. A great time of people getting to see each other again and perhaps don't get out as much. But a great time of fellowship centered around Christmas. And being able to acknowledge Jesus as the Saviour, as the salvation of the world, born at Christmas. And so as we begin, let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to celebrate your birth at Christmas. We thank you for Scripture, for giving us the great details and the wonder of that first Christmas, of the baby born in Bethlehem, and all the events that led up to it. Help us to concentrate on your word today, to see above all that you are worth celebrating, you are worth giving our lives to. And so, Lord, be with us now as we spend the next few moments studying your word. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're continuing, as I say, our Advent series, and this week we're looking at Mary, the servant one, as we entitled it in the series details. So we're looking at Luke chapter 1, and I'm looking at verses 26 to 38, and you may want to turn that up and have that before you as we study, because I'm going to refer to it quite a lot, and it'd be good to see what I'm saying and to pick that up and to make sure that what I'm saying is in accordance with Scripture. So Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Christianity is all about promises, and so is our passage today. Promises made by God that he'll be with us, that he'll forgive us, and that he'll give us eternal life. If you like, a promise of eternity in the glorious new heavens and new earth, of forever in that new heaven and new earth, of being forever being free from pain and suffering and death, of being free from our daily struggles. But I wonder if you sometimes doubt those promises. Do they seem a long way from how you feel? Believing them isn't always easy. The challenge for us is, will I stand up for Jesus if it means missing out on, say, a work promotion just because I don't join in the banter or the crudity? Or will I stand up for Jesus if I'm one of those Christians who face death because of what I believe? And maybe there is only one time to be absolutely sure that we believe in the promise of eternal life. It's when life is nearing its end. At that moment, people ask, what if it's not true after all? Having led their life believing it to be true. And now, at that moment when it really matters, they question if it's true at all. And so as we look at Luke chapter 1 and these verses 26 to 38, we see one of God's great promises. Verse 32, it says that he, that's Jesus, will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. What wonderful verses. What wonderful two verses. It's a promise of never-ending life, of a great future with God, our Heavenly Father. And today in our passage, we meet someone who trusted God's word against all the odds. So I want to look at this short passage under three headings. The greeting, where we look at verses 26 to 30, the announcement, verses 31 to 37, and then the response in verse 38. So the greeting, the announcement, the response. So first of all, the greeting. And really, we're looking here at verses 26 to 30. A greeting, if you like, that Mary doesn't deserve. And we're straight in there in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Meeting angels throughout the Bible, we see is a troublesome thing. Angels are awesome beings. When you think angels, don't think those little decorations on Christmas trees. Angels are big and powerful. We read in Luke chapter 2 of the moment that the shepherds encountered an angel. They were terrified, and shepherds were no wimps. That gives us a sense of what angels are like. It wasn't their size, though, but what the angel said that troubled Mary. You see, they are God's messengers. What they say is of huge significance, often dealing with matters of life and death. Although, to be fair, here, Gabriel's not yet really said anything to Mary except to greet her. So it's a bit like that unsolicited phone call, isn't it? You know how they go. Mr. Jackson, how are you today? I'm pleased to tell you that you've been selected to receive a special gift. I begin to wonder what kind of a greeting this is. I begin to wonder what kind of greeting this is. I am greatly troubled, like Mary. And my defences go up, ready to get rid of the phone caller. I immediately think, don't I, that someone is trying to pull me into a conversation and to try to sell me something, a conversation I don't want, and for me to buy something that I don't want. On the other hand, if a friend comes to me and says, "Hi, Stephen, how are you today? You are highly favoured and I've chosen you to share these tickets to go to the next Man United home game with me," I wouldn't be troubled, would I? I'd be thrilled, I'd be delighted, and say I'd be pleased to accept. So all that Gabriel has done so far is to make a greeting, but Mary's troubled by what she sees and hears. But wonderfully, as we read on in the verses, we see that Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, seeks to reassure Mary. In verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary," he says. "You have found favour with God." How wonderful that Gabriel uses and reassures her by saying her name. It's wonderful reassurance. This then was no cold calling scam, but what we'd expect from our loving and gracious Heavenly Father. He knows us. And he calls us by name and is gentle with us. Gabriel is in reality saying nothing to be frightened of. In fact, quite the opposite. And twice in these two sentences, Gabriel has told her that she's found favour with God, verses 28 and 30. So what Gabriel is saying is clearly important. It's not a declaration that Mary herself, being favoured by God wasn't a declaration that Mary herself was highly impressive, highly moral or highly spiritual. Far from it. The word favour here is a bit like I would use if at the end of the service I ask one of you to do me a favour by getting me a cup of coffee. It's a favour because I don't deserve it. Or your boss doesn't ask you to do him a favour by working for him. Rather, he asks you to do the job he's paying you for. So favour is about getting something we don't deserve. And here in these opening verses, Mary received God's favour, a favour she didn't deserve, but God was calling her to do something wonderful for him. He didn't deserve that she did it for him, but he's calling her to do it and asking her to do him a favour. So there we have the greeting, verses 26 to 30. And secondly, we see the announcement at the heart of our passage, verses 31 to 37. And I think here it's probably fair to summarise what I'm trying to say here is that miracles really do happen. Verse 31, the angel continues, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Remarkable verses packed with the most astonishing facts. And what wonderful truths about the incarnate Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Wonderful truths about the incarnate Jesus. And Mary says in verse 34, how will this be? Since I am a virgin, she says to Gabriel. Mary hears nothing after verse 31, I think it's fair to say. None of it has registered. Mary is concerned with one thing. How can I be with child when I have never slept with a man? If you've ever been on the receiving end of momentous news, you'll understand what's going on here, I think. If you've ever been to the doctor to get test results, and the doctor gives you the devastating news that you have cancer, I think it's fair to say that once you've heard the word cancer, no matter how carefully the doctor says what it means and what the options are, you hear nothing except the word you've got, or the words you've got cancer. Devastating news leaves us deaf to what comes next. And the news from Gabriel was devastating for the young Mary. Back to those early verses of this passage. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. You see, here in these verses, Luke is telling us all we need to know. Mary was a virgin, betrothed to Joseph. No man had been near her. Knew she was pregnant would be for her an absolute catastrophe. Socially, it was more than awkward. It would be a disgrace. She would be seen as a tramp, treated as a pariah, abandoned, not only potentially by Joseph, but by others too. Legally too, it was a disaster. Betrothal, you see, in their day was so much more than engagement today. In her society, betrothal was a legally binding first step to marriage. So anyone being betrothed and pregnant by another, the law would see as an adulteress. And adultery carried the death sentence. The news could metaphorically end Mary's life, quite possibly literally too. It's no wonder she wanted to know, how can it be possible for me, a virgin, to get pregnant? And so Gabriel deals with this big issue next as he speaks with Mary. Verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One, that's Jesus, will be called the Son of God. It is no other than the Holy Spirit's work. The virgin birth is a miracle by the power of the Holy Spirit working in Mary's life. This is how it's possible. There is no other explanation to explain to us what's going on here. The incarnation is a miracle. The birth of Jesus in a virgin can come about by no other way. And Gabriel, seeking to reassure Mary, and I think this is a lovely touch to the story that we're shown here, to reassure Mary that miracles really do happen, Gabriel continues, as he says in verse 36, even, and I've underlined in my notes, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She gave up hope of having a baby. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. It's well on. She's only another 3 months to go. For no word, and here's the crux, for no word from God will ever fail, says Gabriel. Elizabeth was Mary's elderly relative, was 6 months pregnant. And back in verse 24, we saw that, as we thought about last week, that Elizabeth had kept the news of her pregnancy quiet. So it's the first that Mary would know of this, So it really would be reassurance to Mary that Elizabeth was pregnant. And as we read on the story, we see that Mary goes to see Elizabeth, doesn't she, in the narrative of the Christmas story. Elizabeth's pregnancy too, Gabriel was saying, was a miracle. Only possible because God stepped into Elizabeth's life. Only possible because God stepped into her life to turn back the effects of aging and put life again into her dead womb. God, Gabriel mentions this to strengthen Mary's ability to believe that miracles really do happen, that she, a virgin never touched by a man, could be supernaturally pregnant too by the power of the Holy Spirit. For no word from God will ever fail. What a wonderful promise. I told you this passage was full of promises. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful statement. What God says happens. So we've seen the greeting. A greeting that Mary didn't deserve. We've seen the announcement that miracles really do happen. And then thirdly, and most wonderfully, we see Mary's response, the response, verse 38. Mary is absolutely optimistic about the future here. Verse 38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Mary's response is absolutely remarkable. But it's even more remarkable, I think, when we compare it to Zechariah's response that we looked at last week as Gabriel visited him. Both Zechariah and Mary were visited by Gabriel. Both are told of a supernatural and amazing birth, only possible by the miracles of God. Well, Zechariah was a man of high standing in Jewish society who should have been full of faith. Who should have been full of faith, who on the day that Gabriel visited was in the temple for that once in a lifetime opportunity to burn incense there. He should have known what God was like. He should have known he could trust God. But Zechariah, the old priest, didn't believe the words that God said to him through Gabriel. By contrast, Mary was a person of no real standing. No one has heard of her, really. And yet she believes, uttering these words that we see in verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. It's absolutely staggering. And it's worth noting that the word used for servant here in the original is the word slave. She's saying, Mary is saying to the angel, I am your slave. Do with me as you will. My life is yours, in other words. It's a brilliant response. She's standing no other than the word of God. A sure way for all of us, a Christian response, a sure way for all of us to endure hardship and heartache and suffering. And for Mary, the only way that she could face the difficulties that lay ahead as an unmarried, pregnant woman, we need to stand on the word of God. That is the Christian response. That's the response of Mary here. What a wonderful response. How wonderfully optimistic Mary is about the future. She's placing her hands into the Lord's hand. She's being still and knows that the Lord, he is God indeed. So, where do we take this? What can we take away from these verses today? In verse 31, we read these great verses. I read them at the beginning. You will conceive, the angel says to Mary, and give birth to a son. And you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. As we look at the rich content of Gabriel's announcement, we see that the virgin birth shows us salvation. Salvation, which means spending eternity with God. Salvation that is available for everyone who places their faith and trust in Jesus. Eternity is a place with no more suffering or pain or crying or death. And we know that because these verses tell us that Jesus is fully God because he's the Son of God, Son of the Most High, the Son of the Most High God. He tells us too that Jesus is fully human because he's descended from David's line. Jesus was born both of God and of man. That's the truth of the incarnate birth. Jesus then is both our Saviour and our King, ruling over a never-ending, everlasting kingdom, mediating on our behalf with his Father. Jesus, the man who is God, the one who died for me, for all of us, wants to give us eternal life in an eternal kingdom. It's what Christmas is all about. It's what Christmas is all about. The wonderful gift of eternal life given to us through his Son Jesus, born that first Christmas day by the power of God's hand at work in his Holy Spirit in Mary's life. We can believe it. We can believe it because of the miracle of the virgin birth, because of Jesus' perfect life and substitutionary death and his glorious resurrection. Knowing that changes everything. Changes everything. I hope it changes the meaning of Christmas for you forever. Wherever we are, at work, at home, we can stand for Jesus. We can stand on the word of God. It means I can lose everything in a worldly sense, the prospect that Mary faced, because I have everything to gain. It changes everything for one day when it is my turn to die. And I'm wondering if there is anything beyond death I can say, oh yes, there is, Stephen, there is. This is not the end. It is the beginning of a glorious future. If you have never embraced this truth before, do it today. I urge you, I plead with you. For those who already believe this truth, rejoice in it this Christmas, this day, for it is wonderful. And tell others of it. But above all, respond to it as Mary did and say to God, I am your servant. I will trust your word wherever and whatever that means. And do it. Do it because trusting God's word is the way to an everlasting, forever kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of your word. We thank you for sending your Son Jesus. Jesus who will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Jesus who the Lord God gives, who God gives him the throne of his father David, who reigns over Jacob's descendants forever, whose kingdom will never ever end. What wonderful news, what wonderful promises. I pray that wherever you are, as you hear this word, you would take it and trust it and know it in your hearts yourself. In your name we pray. Amen.